Lieutenant Governor Greg Bell resigns, Utopia cuts their prices on 1 gigabit internet, and the Capitol Theater moves forward with extensive renovations. You're listening to the KUER News Pod for Tuesday, September 17th. I'm Brian Grimmett.
Utah Lieutenant Governor Greg Bell announced his resignation yesterday. He told reporters he's about to turn 65 and he needs to save money for retirement. Bell was in the real estate business before he was appointed lieutenant governor in 2009, and he says the recession was pretty tough.
I came out of that with some liabilities, most of which I was able, one way or the other, to work with. But I've had one particular asset that required monthly maintenance, and it's we thought it would sell and be liquidated, but it has not.
Governor Gary Herbert will appoint a replacement for Bell. His choice will need to be confirmed by the state Senate. The soonest that's likely to happen is October 16th, when the legislature holds an interim meeting. Bell says he'll step down as soon as his successor is ready to take office. The fiber optic network Utopia has announced a significant price reduction for its ultra-high-speed residential service. Starting yesterday, 7 Utah-based internet service providers on the Utopia network are offering 1 gigabit service for as low as $65 a month. That's 78% less than the launch price of $299 from June of last year. Utopia Chief Operating Officer Gary Jones says Google Fiber's new high-speed service in Provo played a part in that decision.
Certainly, Google Fiber in the neighborhood has increased the awareness of what one might do with gig, and we're grateful for their support of this type of infrastructure as well. And so I would say that their awareness and their ability to create excitement around that has certainly inspired our service providers to make an offering that's similar to theirs.
The two fiber optic networks are not direct competitors because they serve different parts of Utah. Utopia offers service in 11 cities, ranging from Tremont and to Payson. Jones says they currently have 11,000 subscribers, but their goal is to reach all 150,000 addresses in their service region. As the very Reverend Rick Lawson threw a ceremonial champagne bottle against a huge retaining wall, it became official. The Salt Lake County Center for the Arts and Ballet West celebrated a milestone in the Capitol Theater renovation that's currently underway. Scott Altman, the new executive director of Ballet West, called the christening a watershed moment in the history of the company.
In addition to it being a major watershed for Ballet West, we believe the Jesse Eccles Quinney Ballet Center and the Janet Quinney Lawson Capitol Theater will be an important anchor in the Salt Lake cultural core, attracting new businesses and audience members and increasing the level of economic development in the area.
Johann Jacobs, the former executive director, says the renovation will allow the Ballet West Academy to expand. It'll grow from 200 students a year to 600.
It's rare for a company to actually be working and rehearsing in the theater that it'll be performing in the same facility. So that is a very, very special opportunity for Ballet West.
The lobby of the Capitol Theater will be expanded into the Ballet West Academy next door. The other planned renovations include a new heating and air conditioning system, better sight lines with the stage raised 4 inches, and adjustable acoustics for various types of performances. They hope to be finished by December 1st. Bob Inglis is a former congressman from South Carolina, a conservative who was defeated by a candidate riding the Tea Party wave in 2010. He's gone on to lead the Energy and Enterprise Institute at George Mason University in Virginia. It's proposing a solution to the world's climate change problem based on conservative political values. He'll be explaining that at the Hinckley Institute of Politics at the University of Utah later today. In a conversation with KUER, Bob Inglis also tried to explain what's behind the denial of human-caused climate change that so many conservatives in his party embrace.
You know, I think that denial comes from a very undeserved inferiority complex. Apparently, we conservatives think we're no good when it comes to energy and climate, and so we want to shrink in science denial. But actually, we're very good. We've got the answer. It's free enterprise. And so, what we live to do is to build the conservative case and really build the conservative confidence in the case that there's a great answer here. It's not the growth of government. It's just having the government be the honest cop on the beat that requires all the fuels to be fully accountable for all their costs, that eliminates all the subsidies for all the fuels, and then that stands back and watches the free enterprise system deliver innovation and deliver the fuels of the future.
Now, Arthur Laffer is one of the people that you collaborate with there, the economist who became well-known during the Reagan administration, and he's the one advocating for the elimination of any subsidies to fuels. What are the subsidies that you think need to disappear?
Well, really, we think that all subsidies for all fuels should be eliminated. So that means no more Solyndras. It means no more ethanol mandates. And it means also no special depreciation for oil and gas. It means just eliminating those subsidies, getting the government's thumbs off of the scales that benefit one fuel over another. And so if we do that, it eliminates a market distortion. And the other big market distortion to eliminate is this ability that the incumbent fossil fuels have to socialize cost while privatizing profits, which all conservatives should recognize as a prescription for disaster when you have competitors in the marketplace that are allowed to socialize their costs but privatize their profits. That's a real problem.
When you talk about socializing the costs, would that also include the what many people argue are low rates of royalties that are paid for fossil fuels extracted from public land?
Yes, I think so. I mean, it's one of those, you want that to be at market. If it's below market, then there's a market distortion. This is what we conservatives deeply believe, that that you should eliminate those sorts of market distortions.
One of the things, though, that Mr. Laffer has suggested is taxing things that we don't want, to use his phrase. Would that include carbon fuels such as coal, that you would impose either a tax on the fuel or a tax on the carbon that its users emit?
Correct. This is what we're talking about, is a tax swap. So people like Art Laffer are tremendously helpful because, he says he's agnostic as to climate change. He doesn't know whether it's real or not. I'm a believer. I believe it's real, and we need to act as stewards of this glorious creation. But if you're in Art Laffer's position, which is this agnostic on climate change, what he says, he doesn't really need to know whether it's real or not. All he needs to know is you're taxing something you want more of, which is income, and you're not taxing something you maybe want less of, which is carbon pollution. So he says it's a no-brainer. Change what you tax.
In Australia, they have a carbon tax that was imposed several years ago, and it proved to be so unpopular that the voters in Australia have changed their government on a promise to repeal it. Is that a warning for people in the United States who might want to try and do the same thing?
Well, I think that, there is some issues involving the Aussie tax, that having it moved to a cap-and-trade system after a period of time that I think made it pretty complex and was neither fish nor fowl. We're proposing a very simple tax swap and the elimination of all subsidies. So it's quite different than the Aussie solution. I do hope that Australians over time will come to the conclusion, as we will, I believe, that action needs to be had. And the question is, will that action be, in our case, through command and control kind of regulation, or will it be through a free enterprise alternative? So what we have to do is just build support for elected officials so that they can feel comfortable leading. Because the reality is, unless they feel that support, they won't risk their futures. So that's our job at the Energy Enterprise Initiative, is to educate especially conservatives about the exciting opportunity here, so that then they can in turn communicate with their elected officials and give them the sense that, hey, we'll follow you if you'll lead in this area.
Bob Inglis, thank you very much. I do appreciate you taking the time to talk to us today.
Great to be with you. Thanks.
Bob Inglis is a Republican, a former member of the House of Representatives from South Carolina, and he'll be speaking this morning at 11 at the University of Utah's Hinckley Institute of Politics.
More than 100 people turned out for a rally yesterday to protest the federal government's plan to sell drilling leases in and around the San Rafael Swell. The demonstrators met outside the Bureau of Land Management office in Salt Lake City. Yesterday was the deadline for public protest on the lease sale scheduled for November 19th. The BLM says it's scaled back requests from drillers to open even more of the San Rafael Swell, leaving areas that were near or between existing wells or undeveloped leased parcels. Timothy Walker was scheduled for a court appearance yesterday to face a charge of murder in the death of Draper Police Sergeant Derek Johnson. But he didn't make it to court. He's still in the hospital recovering from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. The arraignment was rescheduled for October 8th. Tracy Valancourt, who's charged with obstruction of justice in the same case, made her first appearance Monday. She was in a wheelchair with an oxygen tank and tubes in her nose. Her attorney, Ryan Holden, says she'll plead not guilty. And finally, Utah is still among the top 10 states in the number of home foreclosure filings, but the Salt Lake Tribune reports improvements in the real estate market are helping some homeowners whose property values have been underwater, lower than the amount they still owe on the mortgage. Foreclosure filings have actually been rising in Salt Lake and Weber counties, and they increased sharply in Nevada in July. Nevada has the highest home foreclosure rate in the country. And that is your KUER News Pod for Tuesday, September 17th. For the latest news and updates from around the state, visit us online at KUER.org or follow us on Twitter at KUER News. Until next time, I'm Brian Grimmett.